So you really want to be careful here how you handle somebody saying no. And write down, no big deal, no big deal, when somebody says no. So let me describe a tickler file a little bit further. You place prospects that you've approached with either the intro CD, maybe somebody says no after they've listened to your wish or your command. Maybe they'll say no after you've shared the program. Doesn't matter. Put them in a tickler file, and at some point in the future, you're going to recontact them if you leave the door open. Remember, one of the things that a lot of people are scared of, that they're frightened of, is that if they approach people who they know with something, that somehow it's going to interfere with their existing relationship. And this is another reason why we use release statements, is so that we can keep the integrity of our relationship, our prior relationship with the prospect. Here's something else that you can do. Whenever someone says no to you or they're not interested, ask for their permission to keep them posted. Ask for their permission to keep them posted on what you're doing. And you could say something like this. Hey Joe, sounds like it's not the right time for you, but would you mind if I kept you posted from time to time on what I'm doing to see if anything changes for you? Hey Joe, sounds like it's not the right time for you, but would you mind if I kept you posted from time to time on what I'm doing to see if anything changes for you? Or words to that effect. So as you get off the phone with Joe, no big deal, just thought you might have an interest, see you soon. And by the way, Joe, sounds like it's maybe not the right time for you right now, but would you mind if I kept you posted on what I'm doing here and see if anything changes for you? And that reminds me of a personal story, and I'm kind of smiling while I'm sharing this story with you. But I have four kids. The eldest at this point is 22. I have one of 19. I have another one that's 15, and one of 9. Well, about 8-9 years ago, the youngest one was a baby, I remember this. And my wife had gone out for the evening for dinner with some of her friends and her family, a girls' night out, if you will. And I was left in charge of the four kids. And I'll just kind of preframe this by letting you know I'm not very good at that. Well, the kids were kind of rambunctious that evening. I had the baby. I had them all in separate rooms. I was giving them candy to keep them quiet. Oh, my wife doesn't listen to this, but I was giving them candy. I was ordering pizza. I was doing whatever they wanted as long as they would sit in a chair and just kind of keep quiet. The baby was having a tough time. Her name's Hannah. And a phone call came in. The phone rang. So I just put the baby down. I picked up the phone and someone was telling me about this investment. And I said, hey, you know what? I'm not interested. And I really, you know, kind of let them get 3-4 sentences out. And I just said, I'm not interested. Well, obviously that evening I was frazzled. I was taking care of the kids. I was worried about what was going on. And I wanted to kind of try and do a decent job. But that person called at exactly the wrong time. Well, luckily enough, he called back on Monday morning. And he knew me, and he said, hey, Chris, when I called the other evening, you sounded a little frazzled. And I said, yeah, I was. I was taking care of the kids. Stacy was out. And, you know, I was kind of in a little bit of a conundrum. So he said, well, the reason I called was I've got this investment, and there's a tax write-off to it. And he explained the investment, and I did it. Bottom line, I did the investment. It was $100,000. Well, in the next 12 months, I made a $700,000 profit from that $100,000 investment. Here's the point. What would have happened if he hadn't called back? What would have happened if he didn't follow up? He knew that I was a little bit out of sorts. So if you call when it's a bad time for someone, then you may just want to get back to him.